Howdy folks, this is Shane. Welcome to the In The Blues Tone podcast. It's June 15, 2016. So the year is flying by. The documentary just came out last week, so if you haven't seen that, definitely check it out. It came out on Sunday, well, technically this week. So Sunday's the first day of the week, even though I always seem to think that Monday is. But yeah, so definitely check it out. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who's shared this around. It had more hits than any of my videos in the last 6 months in the first 2 days. So in that time period, man, it absolutely did well. I was hoping for a few thousand hits the first day, and it got there. It made over 2,000 hits within the first day, over 3,000 in 2 days, which is fantastic. So thanks so much. And if you know anyone who's got gas or has any problems with guitars or pedals or amps, all that kind of stuff, definitely show them the documentary, because I think they'll be able to relate. Dave, my friend who's in the documentary, his collection is epic. And just to let you all know too, that wasn't his full collection of stuff, believe it or not. So he's got loads and loads of great gear. Lots of stuff that didn't fit in that room. And another full room of guitars. We just simply couldn't go through them all. And if you take note, during the documentary, of when we were talking about amps, there's pedals that are in the background. Those aren't even in the... like, they weren't moved to the pedal section of the video. They were left there. So he's got stacks of great stuff, and there's duplicates of things, and it's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I just wanted to say a huge thanks to everyone who's helped share this. And also, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely check it out. It's about 50 minutes, just under 50 minutes long. So buckle up or buckle in or whatever, and check it out, because, yeah, it's got lots of great gear in it. So on Saturday, I actually went and got another guitar. This must have been in the spirit of the documentary about gas being released on the Sunday. So yeah, I don't know what happened. I went looking for a little amplifier that I could use at home and for small gigs, all that kind of stuff. And ended up checking out the Blues Breaker amps. Or the Blues Breaker? Doesn't sound right. No, the Bass Breaker amplifiers from Fender. So their 15 watt amp is fantastic. It kills the Blues Junior. I don't mind Blues Juniors, but they're good for home use, and that's about it in my opinion. These just sound so much better. So if you get a chance to check out the Bass Breaker amps, definitely check them out. I didn't think much of the 18/30 watt one. I love the small 15 watt amp. I think it has the reverb, it sounds great. Anyway, I was a little bit on the fence about whether or not I should buy it or not. And I was sort of talking to Brian, and he kind of helped talk me out of it in a way. He just said, you know, it's a lot of money for something you're going to be using at home, which I agree with. So as we were walking out, I happened to notice, well, Brian happened to point out that there was a Lefty Strat on the wall. It was white, Arctic white, and it had a rosewood fingerboard, maple neck, all that kind of stuff. And he goes, try it out, see what it's like. And it's my favorite color. Like, the Arctic white is my favorite Strat color. I used to have a Sunburst one, which I sold, a two-tone Sunburst, which is based on, you know, the original Strat was that color back in 54, whatever it was. So yeah, that looked nice as well. It had the gold hardware, all that kind of stuff. But this was a bare bones Mexican one. And I kid you not, as soon as I plugged it in, I was sort of dumbfounded by how just steely and nice it sounded. And I was still testing it through the little Bass Breaker amplifier as well. And it rocked. And luckily, Brian had his... you know, he's got a really, really nice Strat. It's some sort of reissue, and it's, you know, arguably one of the best ones that Fender make. I can't think of the model. I'd get it wrong if I guessed. But, yeah, I think it's a 50s something, like a late 50s Strat. Anyway, he basically, we A-B'd between them. And I don't know, to my ear, the white Strat sounded a little bit more ballsy, a little bit more steely, and it had the qualities that I've never, ever found in a Strat. My old Strat was a Deluxe American Series Strat. It came out in 2004, it was a limited edition. I must have changed pickups in that 5 times looking for this sort of sound. I'm not just saying that because this is new. I had no intention to buy a Strat. I didn't go there looking for one. I'd played 5 other Stratocasters since I sold mine, trying to basically confirm my suspicions that all Strats have that plastic overtone to them. And this was the first Strat as a Lefty that's ever given me this type of tone. With a compressor pedal, I just did some reviews today of some retro stuff. I put a Pearl compressor pedal on my Strat into my Super Reverb, and it's that John Mayer / Dire Straits tone all day. Absolutely all day. It doesn't sound plasticky. It doesn't have that overtone. It just sounds great. So I'm stoked. I can't believe it. Like a guitar that's, you know, I sold, for what I sold mine for, this cost me half of what I sold mine for. So I did pretty well out of it. The rest of the money's in the savings. I can't believe now Mexican Strats don't come with a gig bag. It's so tight. I just can't believe it. But anyway, that said, I just did some basic setup work on it. I had to lock down the trem. So the guys in the shop at World of Music gave me another spring. So I managed just to, you know, lock that up, screw the tighten the screws in the back of where the springs go, where the tremolo system is. Tighten that up so that it doesn't move. And I set up the saddles. I had to adjust the neck slightly because I put heavier strings on. I play 11 to 50s or whatever it is. So I put those on. And man, the best position on this guitar, while they all sound pretty good, is bridge and middle. That absolutely rocks. It sounds flat out like the Straits tone. I tried every type of pickup there is when it comes to Strats. I've tried classic Fender ones, Fender Noiseless, like three different sets of those, the Allen pickups, Zex Coil pickups, MJS custom pickups, you know, lots and lots of stuff. There was just something about all of them, actually, minus the Zex Coil pickups that I didn't like. The Zex Coil pickups are great. They got that modern type of tone, no buzz, all that kind of stuff. And if I do, you know, if the buzz ever becomes a problem, I'll go back to those. I wouldn't put Bardens in my Strat. I just think the Zex Coils retain that Strat sound. But that said, these stock pickups are great. And right now, I just can't swap it over. I had a chance to use this guitar just the other night live for the first time, the day after I bought it. And man, it was rocking. I took my A rig out. You know, I took my Super Reverb, took my Klon, my Maxon Tube Screamer, all that kind of stuff, just my pedal board. Got it down, and man, it just cooked. It handled the higher gain, you know, both overdrives on, no problems at all. It handled just everything I put out. I didn't even get any buzz in this room, which is great. I got maybe just a hair, but nothing noticeable over the mix, unlike some venues I play at. So this Strat, I guess the intention or what will end up happening is I'll use this Strat for a lot of gear demos coming up because it sounds fantastic and it's always great to have a Strat. It's one thing, you know, to have a Telecaster for demos, but I think, you know, lots of people can relate to a Strat as well. So worst case scenario is I'll be using it for a lot of my demos, intro clips, all that kind of stuff. And I've already shot, I think, three demos, and one of those is the Strat demo, which should be up very, very soon, probably a day or two before this podcast actually goes live. But anyway, I'm not too sure when this gets released, but I'm recording it today, and I'm not filming it, actually. I'm just sitting here in front of the microphone. So I'm back in the Strat camp. I've had just such bad experiences with them over the years. Now, the only other Strat I had that I really, really liked that I sold, and I'll tell you why I sold it, was because I took the stock pickups out and I put Fender Noiseless pickups in. This is back before, you know, there were any really other options out there. The Fender were one of the few guys making Noiseless pickups at the time. And one guess to what that Strat was. It was an Arctic White Strat made in Mexico that I picked up when I was in the US. And I played with Sammy Fender in Chicago with it. And listening back to that video in 2008, I think it was, man, the tone was great, and I was plugged straight into a little valve amp, a tube amp, and with some sort of dirt pedal. I can't even remember what they had there, but it absolutely rocked, and it inspired me to play. And there's something to be said about these Mexican guitars, man. They feel good. While I'm not going to say they feel nicer to play than the US guitars, but this one definitely sounds better than any of the US Strats I've ever owned or ever played. So it does sound better. The finish isn't quite as nice. And I think what gives more expensive guitars, you know, a little bit of a better feel maybe is because they're heavier. I'm not going to say it plays any better than this because it doesn't. I just think the feel when you physically have your hands on the US guitar it feels nicer. And it's sometimes due just to the weight of the guitar. I was thinking about that over the last few days, and I really think weight of a guitar helps define quality in a lot of cases, especially with Fender stuff. Most of their, you know, top of the line guitars weigh more than some of their bottom of the line guitars, for example. So yeah, just food for thought there. Let me know if you've experienced this as well. I know with the Gibson stuff, you know, you pick up a really nice Les Paul and it weighs a ton, and I think they do that because weight gives, you know, weight to the product, so to speak. So that makes any sense. But yeah, I've been thinking about that a bit, and it's something that I've noticed, that the Mexican stuff's lighter, but it sounds great. It really does sound great. Feels good. It looks awesome. It doesn't have the finesse of finish that my old Deluxe Strat had, but it's got everything I've been looking for tone-wise. So yeah, you'll be seeing this on a lot of stuff coming up. Now, I wanted to point out that Anthony from Texas Blues Alley Online now has a podcast as well. I retweeted his tweet recently and shared it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/intheblues. I'm a little husky, sorry about that. But yeah, his podcast looks to be really, really cool. He was just talking about the building of his new barn, all that kind of stuff. But as the podcast goes, it's going to be basically a place for him to talk about stuff that doesn't always go over well on his YouTube channel. He wants to keep that pretty constant with his, you know, lessons and gear demos. Anything else he tends to find doesn't really work with his audience. I guess that's the difference between my channel and his. The podcast does extremely well, so people like to contribute to it. And I think if he maybe did something similar to what I do, he'd be surprised how well it would do, because people can contribute to it, which, you know, they can help, they can answer things, they can also suggest things, all that kind of stuff. And it's a, you know, YouTube's a great medium for podcasts. It is. You know, you look at some of the most successful ones on there, and the community just goes, you know, crazy with replies and answers and comments, all that kind of stuff. So Anthony, if you listen to this, I'm not sure if you do or not, I wish you well with the podcast. And about 6 months ago, maybe, we spoke about doing a podcast together. We should do that. So let's make some time and have a chat over Skype or however you wanted to do it. I've got the recording facility set up for it here. I can give you the files. You can use it as well, however you want to, you know, whatever you want to do with it. And we can get it happening. I think, you know, sharing information and having a chat between YouTube channels like ours, for example, would be a good thing for the niche of guitars and lessons, all that kind of stuff. So keep up the good work, man. If you do listen to the podcast, I'd definitely still love to have a chat with you at some stage. So you might be wondering what I'm working on next. Actually, I've been working on an album for quite some time. It's going to be called This Drive. It's basically, and it takes its inspiration from JJ Cale, Dire Straits, and Van Morrison on the most part. So if you like those artists, that should give you a rough indication of how it's going to sound. And when I say Van Morrison, I don't really mean like Brown Eyed Girl. Can't really stand that song anymore. If you know like Days Like This, that kind of sound that Van Morrison's famous for, I'm not going to say we've got, you know, gone for that sound, but there's a few songs in that sort of, you know, vein, I guess. JJ Cale's probably my biggest influence right now. I've been listening to him non-stop, and I really love his Tulsa sound. So for those who don't know, the Tulsa sound is a mix of blues, country, jazz, rock and roll, and you name it. But it's neither of those as well. Some people can hear blues in it, some people hear country in it, some people hear jazz. It's just a mix of styles. So that's what we've gone for. I wrote 12 songs in 2 days, arranged them, all that kind of stuff. And then as we went, I got the drums done. Bass was done in 1 day. We've got some legitimate Hammond organ guitars, obviously, slide guitar, and pedal steel. I hired a guy from Michigan called Paul Hilton, who is a phenomenal pedal steel player. So if you ever need a pedal steel player, he's a studio guy as well. So he can record and give you a track that just sounds amazing. So that's what I'll be working on next. It's the last of my projects. It might be my last album for a little while as well. It's an expensive thing to do, and I don't necessarily mean the production side of it. I love doing that. It's just getting them pressed. So I may do like a put up a video about some like crowdfunding, and what that will do is anyone who donates a small amount, like $10 or something, they'll get a free physical copy of the CD as well as a digital copy. So I might do something like that just to see how many people are interested in the album. And if I get enough to press 50 or 100, then that's what I'll do. I won't get 500 done or anything like that. It's crazy. Or I might just shoot for iTunes and maybe just have it on there and that's it. These are all original songs too, so there won't be any issues like putting them on iTunes. But yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about for a while. Sometimes pressing CDs, as much as I love having a copy of it in my hand, I always end up with copies. My last album, The Change I Need, I've got maybe 15, 20 of those left, and I got 50 of them done. It goes to show you, I gave away maybe 10. So yeah, you know, I haven't sold a whole lot of those, but that's not really what it comes down to for me. I actually physically like having a copy in my hand. I think that's a really good feeling. So you never know. I may just get a small run pressed, maybe 20 or 50. And yeah, we'll see what happens with that anyway. But it's nearly finished. It sounds great. I'm really pleased with my new vocal approach to these songs. There's one song I'm having a bit of trouble with vocally that I'm going to get some help with. The melody's been a bit tough for me to get around. So once I hear it and practice it a few times, I should be all good. The rest of the songs, though, are coming along great. I kind of look at this as a driving the car kind of album. You know, not so much, you know, with the headphones on and rocking out. It's more like put it on in the car and just drive. And it's the sort of music that will pass the time. At least that's the intention anyway. It feels good. It's got some pretty cool lyrics. It's sort of based around, some of it is based around my travels in the US. Some of it's sort of fictional. You know, some of it's sort of like love story stuff. So it's got it all. There's some, like there's a slow blues on there that's not a traditional slow blues that feels awesome. So there's a whole lot of cool stuff going on. The piano's great. The Hammond organ sounds awesome. All the parts just came together extremely fast. This is by far the quickest album I've ever produced for myself. And it's been so close to getting finished for a long time. I'd say for about a month now. But I had to get the documentary finished because I started that beforehand. And it's one thing just to keep, you know, bumping projects back. But it's another thing to actually get them finished. So I thought, let's just get this done in order. Finish the documentary, hold off on the album, and then do the album. So that's not too far from being done now. And I will put a sample up on a future podcast. I did put a sample up a little while back on one of the other podcasts I did a while back. But the songs have progressed. The mix is really, really cool. It's a bit of a special album, this one. And yeah, it feels like it's something that will appeal to more people than just, you know, guitar guys. And that's kind of inadvertently where it ended up. And it's just, it's got hooks, good hooks in there, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, this drive, this will be the album that might be my last one for a little while. Who knows, I might get inspiration and start doing another one, but I kind of want to be done with these big projects. I'm always doing more of them when I should just be sort of kicking back from time to time. I end up putting a lot of pressure on myself to get them finished or to get them started. And yeah, this one's cost me a little bit too. I've paid a few people to help on there as well. So yeah, it's definitely the best album I've done to date. And what I love about it, I played all the parts myself. There's no copying, pasting. There's no pitch correction, none of that kind of stuff. So it's legit. It's guys that play music playing music. And we did use a click track, but that's a good thing. So yeah. Just to lock us all into the groove. But that aside, it's extremely musical. A lot of the stuff was done, you know, one or two takes. And, you know, there's something special about that. So I look forward to showing people more about this and hopefully getting it on iTunes, maybe in the next month, all being well. So if you're wondering what's going on with the live streams, I basically just put a stop to them for a while with my work hours in the city, coming home and only having a day or two to myself every week. I had to put them on hold. So I did do one during that time, but it was just, I wasn't really in the mood to do it, and it probably showed. So I think we're going to start the live streams up again this Saturday. I've scheduled a video on YouTube already. So I'll email all the links out to people. If you'd like to be on the live stream, all you need some headphones and a microphone, either a laptop microphone, whatever you got. And email me at intheblues@outlook.com and I'll add you to the mailing list. And if you'd like to join, please do. There's no pressure, of course. If you are on the mailing list and can't make it, it is all good. So no stress there. I don't expect everyone to be able to make it all the time, but if anyone wants to join in, that would be awesome. It's been probably a month now since my last one. So I expect this coming Saturday to be great. It'll be Saturday my time, 10 o'clock a.m., which is about 7 or 8 o'clock p.m. in the U.S., depending, of course, on what coast you live on, but it should be fine. We've got a good core group of live streamers that join as well from all over the world. So huge thanks to guys like Steve and Nick and Dave and all these guys who join on a regular basis. It's always great to have them on. So it'd be good to catch up with everybody in a live capacity and have a chat about some music stuff, music, non-music stuff, and just a bit of everything else. I may have a chat about the documentary as well, see if anyone's watched it. If anyone has any questions, whatever, we can take those. And you don't have to be part of the live stream in video form. You can just also type in the comments in the live chat box that comes up. So keep that in mind too. And I am getting extremely husky right now, so I'm going to take a drink and come right back. All right, and just a quick look and insight into what's going on with the channel. The channel has grown exponentially over the last few months. It's been awesome. I'm just short of 50,000 subscribers now, so I thank everybody, new and old subscribers, for supporting me all this time. The channel is 10 years old, even though I wasn't really doing gear demos up until about 2008 or 9. But yeah, I really started putting effort into the channel around 2010, I think, was the year that I decided this is kind of what I want to do. So I just pursued it. And I'm doing that now, which is pretty cool. So a huge thanks to everyone who's supported my YouTube channel over the years and, you know, supported anything that I've done, whether it be the forum or my music, you know, my CDs, all that kind of stuff. I greatly appreciate everybody who has helped out. So coming up, I'm going to be doing a video of how to change pickups in a humbucker guitar. I've got some really cool MJS PAF pickups. They're made in Canada and they're great. So they're going into my Tokai Les Paul and that should give it a little bit more chirp and a little bit more clarity. It already sounds great. I'm just going to give it a go. I'm happy with the guitar, but I think this might make it just that little bit better. So I'm willing to take the chance and swap that over. Recently on one of the podcasts, I spoke about producing gear demos and I also put that on YouTube and I had a lot of questions. So I figured what I might do is do a 1 hour video on start to end on doing a, you know, a product of some description and putting that on YouTube and my process and how I go about it, show you everything that I do on the most part. Because I've done so many of them now, I really take it for granted. It is a huge learning curve, but I think, you know, it might be a good video to actually put out there because it may actually help raise the quality of other channels' videos, as well as just hopefully if enough people see it, it would be beneficial just for the overall standard on YouTube as well. So I'm not saying mine are the best by any means, but I honestly think they're some of the best now. So, you know, I put a lot of work, time and effort and learning into what I do, and being that, you know, my goal is to have it in the top five in the world at some point in time. That's in its niche, of course. That's where it's at. And it's funny, I look at some of the stats on my channel, and I'm so very close to overtaking a lot of the bigger names that have been out there for a long time, like Gear Man Dude, the Tone King, all those guys. I think this year I'll probably end up passing both of them. either in either views or in subscribers or both. So, you know, everyone says, oh, it's not a competition, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, my goal is to get it as strong as I can. That's always been the goal. Make the best content, have the most diverse channel as well. Like, rather than just pumping out gear demos all the time, I've got the podcast, I've got the live streams, I've got the Q&As, I've got the retro pedal demos, all that kind of stuff. So I'm always thinking about what can I do to make things different. And as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, I take a lot of inspiration from other channels in different niches as well. And if I can apply it to what I do, then I try to. So yeah, it's good. I think you can't just do one thing a million times because, you know, you need some separation from the other channels. And I'm stoked, and which means I'm really happy to to know that some of the other things that I've done on the YouTube channel have worked, whether it be the Mustang Mondays, the retro pedal demos, the podcast, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, and I'm always open to taking on any feedback or ideas that people have. So if you do have any ideas that you'd like to see me do for my channel, you can email me at intheblues@outlook.com, and you can also leave a comment at intheblues.podcast.com as well. If you've got a social platform like Facebook or whatever, you can just post straight to the site. So yeah, good things are on the way for the channel. I'm going to start actively pushing it in certain ways pretty soon too. So I'm hoping that, if you know, using other channels as an example, I'm planning on growing this. So the length of time it took me or has taken me to get to 50,000 subscribers will be much shorter, from 50,000 to 100,000 subscribers. That's my goal. I want that little YouTube medallion they give you when you get to 100,000. So, you know, if you can share my channel with anybody that you know, please do. It's always appreciated. And any help you give me, you know, it comes back on the channel with basically letting me or allowing me to do this as what I do. So it's been tough. Financially, it's been pretty tough. If I didn't have the shop, I would have been eating, you know, water for dinner a lot of the time. So the shop has helped big time. If you are after any pedals, know that that's going to a good cause as well. And I don't want to sound needy, but the shop has been just, it's really gotten me through some tough times. So thanks again for all the support with the In the Blues Tone Shop. And yeah, and that's about it for today. So thanks so much for listening. My name's Shane. We're on the In the Blues channel at youtube.com/intheblues. And if you'd like to chat to me in person, you can join the live stream this coming Saturday my time, Friday in the US, Friday in England. So y'all are a day behind us. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've done one, as I mentioned earlier, just because of other commitments, but the time has come for another one. So if you'd like to be on the mailing list, hit me up at intheblues@outlook.com. Don't forget, check out the Tone Shop at intheblues.com.au. And if you'd like to listen to this podcast, you can also find it on iTunes or any podcatcher, because I've got it all hooked up there too. So it's free, as it will always be. Thanks again. Catch you all soon. See ya.